Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome back to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle. Do have some gaming news. Wayne and I just bought the A Song of Ice and Fire role-playing game by Green Ronin, and
immediately popped a Woody.
Yeah, pretty much.
I wasn't going to be so crass about it, but yes.
Yeah, I just like instantly got a game crush on that. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really, really sweet system. So
do you think it also had to do with the setting as well? That was probably at least part of it for me.
That's what made me buy it, but I think, and we'll talk about more about that game when we talk about in our Game of Thrones episode. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's certainly what made me buy it, and it was certainly what made me buy the kind of the D20, a Game of Thrones role-playing game from a company that went bankrupt right afterwards. And that's a really good book as well. But the Green Ronin one has its own system. I haven't seen it used in another game. And just looking at the actual character creation is fun. Looking at the combat, the intrigue combat, I guess you could say.
I like the intrigue combat.
And all of it is good. All of the different...
I haven't read it myself.
I'm not a big system person, so to have something where when I look through and I go, wow, that's quite elegant. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen something like that since I first... I haven't had that kind of feeling since I first... cracked open Vampire the Masquerade.
Yeah, I mentioned before, this is the first time I've heard you be excited about a game, so I'm pretty interested. Hmm.
Run it!
Yeah, so I recommended it, and Wayne went out and got it as well, because he's a massive Martin fan. And
Die Hard. And I'm dying watching the TV series. Oh, man.
Some might say too much. But
save it for the episode. Yeah. Save it for the
I remember what you said about what it was going to carve into Martin's tombstone. And I'm not going to carve it into his tombstone. I'm going to carve it into whoever wrote that series.
It was D.B. Weil or something?
I don't know who it was.
Is one of the showrunners.
Well, I suppose. It's not only him, but...
Well, we'll get HBO to see. I think Martin wrote episode 8. So we'll get to watch that and... see what he does with the different characters.
I may not have a leg to stand on after watching
episode. Yeah, if episode 8 isn't true to the book, then what are you going to do? Because it's the same author.
I'm still going to stand on my soapbox and yell.
Nerd rage doesn't spare the actual creators. Right.
If anything...
What did you do to my...
if anything...
What did you do to your work?
I'm going
to
rage even harder.
I wrote it! It's like, that doesn't matter! This was my life! Well, it's actually my life. But, I'll say this about the series, and we'll save everything else we talk about for that. The actual specific episode is...
So this one last little jab?
No. Just we talk about it a lot.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
so we're certainly getting our money's worth.
Countless bites of email.
Yeah.
But today we're going to talk about... I could make a small effort to, link it
Have
to what
segment.
We just talked about. But I won't. we're going to talk about accessorizing your character. I could have said because Game of Thrones had
such wonderful prop design.
They had the sword lion's tooth or the sword ice or long claw or dawn.
Needle. Lightbringer.
And we're just thinking these are all just different swords, but we remember them for different reasons. And we just think, we should be putting the same amount of care in when we equip our characters as, an author would when they write all the different characters.
Like I said, I'm not going to bother segueing this, and then you segue it.
You beat me to it. I was just about to say something similar. Like, man, for someone who said they weren't going to do it, that was quite eloquent.
I was getting the evil eyes from you.
There's no evil in these eyes.
On that note, I guess let's just kick it off with ideas on how to make items memorable or more than just gear, essentially.
I think a good example is, actually just what we mentioned, but if you look at legends and fiction, or you could just look at, you could compare the World of Darkness's armory. And then it's Armory Reloaded. So Armory basically just lists a bunch of different weapons that you can use, guns and melee weapons and stuff. But Armory Reloaded actually then names these items. Even things like, you know, like handguns and that. And gives them a story and a history and what happened with each user.
Cool.
So I think when you're taking your plus three sword and you want to make it something special, yeah.
Give it a name.
Give it a name.
Give it a name.
Yeah. And in my opinion, that's the easiest or sort of the simplest thing you can do to kind of elevate an item from just...
Well, I might say even one of the most important as
well. Well, I wouldn't say... Okay, maybe one of the most important, but I also think it's the simplest, right? To just give it a name. Name it something. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a plus three sword. It's Sting. Not to steal that from Lord of the Rings, just an
Sting
example.
The Goblin
right?
Caller.
Or, you know, Orcrist Glamdrill. Getting off on my little nerd soapbox. All right. Or...
Well, no, if you look at, like, for example, King Arthur, you had originally those two swords. One is the sword and the stone. Which is very important to the story of King Arthur, and then you have the Excalibur that he gets from the lady in the Lady of the Lake or Lady in the Lake.
I believe it's the Lady of the Lake.
It might be
the
Lady of the Lake. So we can check that later. Yeah. But then people just started confusing them and thinking they're the same sword. Mm. Now I would guess it was probably because one's got a name, one doesn't. Mm-hmm. So both of them are suddenly Excalibur.
Yeah.
So then the story just becomes that they're both the Sword and Stone and. Mm. The Lady in the Lake, they're both Excalibur, and they kind of figure out how it originally gets in the sword, originally gets in the stone, and then why he has to kind of get it back from the Lady in the Lake when he fights Lancelot and it breaks because he's kind of cheating.
Yeah, I was going to say, up until we did that research, I had, you know, I knew the knew the stories of both.
I stumbled upon that.
I had kind of assumed they were the same sword, and but even if you kind of know that. It's a bit odd, because the sword obviously can't be in two places at one time, right?
So, a magic sword can.
Yeah, that's debatable, but only if it has that power. But anyway, so I guess...
I agree.
Like the... I guess I kind of put my ideas in tiers, right? So I saw naming the item as the simplest, and sort of the next step up would be to give it some kind of connection or personal significance. And you could do that with or without giving it a name. So,
For example,
something as simple as, this is the plate armor my grandfather gave me when he was a knight.
Interesting.
You've immediately sort of...
See, like, it's like an heirloom.
Yeah, it could be an heirloom. Yeah. Or it wouldn't have to be that... Well, I guess personal connection is sort of the easiest. Right? Or it could be something like, someone important gave this to you, or I stole this from somebody.
Huh. When you first mentioned that, actually, I was thinking about how that would work in-game. So if for example, some guy just went up against a really difficult challenge, maybe the rest of the party was down, he's the last one standing, and he took out the last few goblins or whatever it was, and one of them was wearing a really cool suit of plate armor, then there it is. That make that a magical item.
Well, I don't know...
Fortunately, the hero is goblin-sized.
No, it's magic armor, which means it stretches.
Joffrey.
What, a halfling?
Goblin-sized Joffrey.
Goblin-sized and shaped.
I wasn't thinking so much as even making it magical, right? But it could be. Mm-hmm. But if you went that route, I guess the narrator would have to... If the player did that on their own, that's great. If they said, this sword is important now because of these actions I took with it, that would be great.
I would say, like, you know, I agree with what you're saying, but I was thinking broadening it out and thinking about giving it a history. And I would say you could give an item a name without a history.
Right.
But it's hard to have something have a history without a name because, sure, maybe it's your grandfather's plate armor. Hmm. But unless, I don't know.
Well, actually,
wouldn't they have named it or called it something? Because other than just saying it's your grandfather's plate armor, I'm not sure that's really adding much to it.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, actually, history was my next step up. Actually, crafting a history for this rather than just some kind of connection.
He wore
to
it at the Battle of.
And that's the thing, like, there's a difference between, like, creating a legendary history, which is, I think, where you were going with
it. Oh, not necessarily.
No, I think he was doing, like, a mundane history.
Okay.
Like, I'm kind of scaling up.
Not saying that in a bad sense.
Like, well, for example, one of the D&D characters I had was, I said, this is a long axe given to me by my grandfather that's been in my family for generations that was given to us by a god himself way back in...
It would have a name, then.
Yeah, it was actually called Frostbite.
Well, there you go. That's my point.
Yeah. But then, that's on the other hand, like, this is a suit of armor that my grandfather wore. It wouldn't necessarily have to have a name.
Yeah, but then people would just forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
it wouldn't make it terribly memorable, and I think other than you would drop that once, and it's like, oh, I got this armor from my grandfather. Oh, cool, cool. And I got these shoes from my... My mom bought these for me.
That's cheap of my idea, why don't you? I bought these shoes at Payless.
No, no, but I was thinking...
These are the shoes I bought when we couldn't afford all that much.
And this is a cell phone my brother gave me when he upgraded to the next one.
I was just thinking in terms of, I guess in most kind of games, gear isn't really important. Like some games, you upgrade all the time, right? Or you loot corpses.
In the new D&D, it's built in.
Yeah, or it's built in, and you just kind of you're just encouraged.
The corpse looting, of course.
Yeah, the corpse looting's built in. Yeah, you're supposed to get new gear as you progress, and.
My body's grown this suit of armor on itself.
Essentially. Well, actually, they have that in there. They have that little box you can tick for like built-in bonuses if you want to run a campaign that has few magic weapons in it.
I think that's actually kind of how you're supposed to do it. But
I've shed my soft skin, and now I have a hard shell.
Anyway, my point was is that...
The sword fairy visited me last night.
Sword fairy. I was just saying that. I think it makes for a more... at least sort of interesting character if you actually have something like a piece of gear that's important to you for whatever reason. And it doesn't have to be magical, it doesn't have to be great, but if you're kind of willing to keep the sword throughout your entire campaign rather than just chuck it every time you go to a new village, even if there's stuff that's better, and you're like, well, that sword's better, but this one is important to me because of
Fair enough, but then do you think that then kind of the sword should upgrade, like different powers or unlock...
Absolutely.
As, you know, kind of to reward the player for kind of keeping something that, you know, has some significance and is adding something to the story.
Well, absolutely. Especially in a game like D&D where the power level scales with the characters.
Yeah.
And a point-based system, it might not be as important. But, yes, agreed. And there's a lot of ways you could dress that up. You could have it, like you said, unlocking new powers. You could have the character learning, becoming more in tune with it, or, like, base any new kind of moves or abilities he gets off of the weapon.
I think D&D 3.5 had those legacy weapons.
You know what you could do?
That did that.
Don't do that. Yeah, the legacy weapons did that.
They kind of grew with
the artifacts in the new D&D do that as well. Like you can you're allowed to tune yourself in with the artifact. I don't remember the specific rules about it, but
probably just gave you a shitload of bonuses.
Yes, like the more if the sword really hates you, then like it disappears eventually. Like it'll
wouldn't that have to be like
it'll try
like an
to,
intelligent item though?
Yeah, like I said, artifacts. Legendary kinds of weapons. Oh. But you can, if you're doing what it wants to do, then it'll give you more bonuses. Whereas opposite, if you're doing something that's against its alignment, then it'll try and get away from you.
Mm. I think some of the legacy weapons in 3.5 weren't even necessarily intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, you could kind of spend your levels or do certain things to unlock.
Yeah, then also like, for example, like, or if you had a samurai, your katana got better and better.
I don't remember.
As things progressed. But I hadn't even thinking is what you could do to a player if you want to give them something better instead of doing like the kind of the legacy rules is that you basically just have the sword break.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got to...
Reforge it?
He could reforge it, yeah. Or he now has a necklace or something and he gets
a very dangerous necklace.
It's not like...
This is my short sword necklace.
No, but it shatters or whatever and he keeps like a little piece of
it. You have to give it to a lady.
Or he takes, for example, the like the hilt or the crossguard or something from the sword and builds that into a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So you carry a piece of it. So then the player still has like kind of their personal legacy.
Yeah.
But they're actually upgrading to a different sword.
I remember in a...
That just might be a bit more...
Easy.
Not easier, different. Let's just say it's different than just saying, oh, and your sword just got better. Awesome. You
can always add things to it as well. Like say if there's a...
Maybe you call that sword unbreakable? Yeah.
Nah. The breakable sword. Maybe you could add things to it, like jewels in the hilt, and the jewels could have special powers. You could find a clump of star
materia
metal or
from
something
Final Fantasy VII.
Build it into it.
No, that reference is wrong. I said materia from Final Fantasy VII.
Sorry, I've never Final Fantasy after like the second one.
Maybe that's what you did. Well, I was thinking like you could do like story, not rewards, but like if the player is holding on to this item, you as the game master, you could actually craft a side track or even part of a whole story about it in that, you know, maybe somebody else wants that item Or instead of getting broken, it gets stolen? Or
taking one small step back with leveling up the item as well. I mean, in D&D, there's not really a rationale as to why the characters level up, so...
Or anything else for that matter.
That's so true.
Easy. Abstract system.
But that's just that you can abstract that part of it as well if you're at a loss for anything else.
Yeah, there's other ways around it. I mean, there's always like stories, you know, when they have to reforge something, or they only keep a small part of it and incorporate that. Kind of a broken record, but you know, when John gets that sword, the bastard sword, or
Long Claw.
Yeah, the Long Claw. So, the blade comes from.
That's actually
previous sword, and then but basically adding the wolf motif to
it. It's actually a pretty good example because it got damaged in a fire, and sort of the blade was the only thing that's left, and so, you know, the whole thing kind of gets reforged, but it's still kind of the original sword.
Hmm. Yeah, makes it his.
Yep, cool.
I was thinking that also if you're going to give players something, and you did this, Chris, and unfortunately not everybody took advantage of it, but. You allowed people to like make a history for their item?
I was actually, I wanted to mention that this episode, I was really surprised and really happy that you guys did that. And
I got laughed down when I made my choice.
Yeah, well, I don't recall there being a history.
No, there wasn't.
Not for Wayne's, no, but Eugene's was pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Eugene didn't make a history for his, but he went, like, I just expected him to say, like, it's a plus one necklace or something like that, but he came up with the rationale that the one... weapon they already had, the dagger.
Oh.
The poker, as he called it. It told him to choose these other items.
Yeah.
And it gave him reasons for doing it. And he played a character who wasn't very intelligent, so he followed along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, your idea was okay, Wayne.
Yeah, apparently it wasn't, because it received gales of laughter.
Each link is a different kind of material.
It was a different kind of metal. I was trying to play like homage to the Maestro's chain in a Song of Fire and Ice, and I said, it's ring mail, and they're all made of metal, and I got, brah, there's not enough metal to make a suit of chain mail. What do you have, five links?
Which is true. And also, it's like, what, the tin link?
I wasn't saying that each link had to be a different...
The mercury one.
See, this is exactly what happened during the game. It's why I'm just going to shut up about it now.
That's actually the other reason that I wanted to bring up
I thought it was. Like, as soon as you said that, I'm like, I know where this is going.
But, yeah, you definitely put the most work into it, Lyle. So. Is that a common thing for you in other fantasy games? Have you had that chance, or have you done that before?
Little do you know, he recycled that sword from every other game he's played.
I don't think that recorded well.
All right, fine, whatever. I didn't need to.
Anyway, no. Okay. No, I probably just decided. I don't know. I just kind of pulled the name out of nowhere and then trying to backtrack and figure out what the history would have been.
Cool.
To come up with the name so it made sense. It was pretty tenuous.
I think Lyle's better at thinking of stuff on the fly.
I think it... No,
especially when he gets the encouragement of not getting laughed down when he tries.
I've been shouted down at the gaming table.
That's not true.
That's even when I do all that research and get shouted down. All
right,
I think engravings are also a nice touch. Dressing up the weapon, but you could put. And we talked about this a little bit in Gangsters when we said about like tattoos and you know revealing a little bit about the person. But the storyteller could put stuff, even if it was like a gun,
pearl handle.
Could have a pearl handle. Something I don't think people would necessarily. I mean, that makes it look nice, but maybe there's, like, an engraving on the gun, on the barrel, or on the handle.
Mm-hmm. You're talking almost kind of like a maker's mark.
Well, it could be a maker's mark, and then if that person is quite famous, then that's interesting, but it could even just be, like, a message.
That'd be interesting.
I had a roommate who was a big fan of the Boondog Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Boondog Saints?
Yes, Boondog Saints, yeah.
So, obviously, I'm not my roommate.
I like that movie, too.
But aren't there engravings on their guns?
Yeah, it's a religious phrase. I don't remember what it is, but...
But stuff like that, if somebody finds the weapon and it has that, or you can also encourage your players to say, okay, what did you write anything on? And obviously, if it's just the 38 special, and it means nothing to them, you know, with the tape around the handle, it's a throwaway weapon.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Well, but if it's something that's important to them, or even the grandfather's plate mail or whatever...
Mm-hmm. I could see... I mean, it's not exclusive to modern settings, but I could see the engravings being used a bit more in modern settings than...
Really? I would almost say the reverse, and that's why I was deliberately saying about the using the modern example, because that's something that could be ported over. I think, for example, Supernatural did a really good job with the cult and incorporating this I think it's Peacemaker, Colt Peacemaker, into the story, and it has a history, but I think Armory Reloaded does a really good job of that as well, using a lot of modern weapons. I would say that's against the normal trend.
Well, probably against the normal trend, but I was thinking.
You can do that with modern stuff. It also doesn't have to be with weapons.
Yeah, no. Absolutely. I know we're trying to stay away from like MacGuffins and sticking more with items that people have, but that would be a very interesting MacGuffin for a story. If you receive, or you somehow get an item and it has an engraving on it, something mysterious, it's a message. Yeah. Then, yeah, could make for a fun adventure.
Yeah, it could be. Well, yeah, when we're talking about like a MacGuffin that becomes then something that you can continue with or carry with you. Like, for example, Hercules is what, Nemean?
Nemean lion.
Nemean lion pelt. So it's become, he has to first figure out a way to get the pelt off this lion. I think it's one of his labors. But then that's cool, and then you keep it after the adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just becomes a really, really valuable item that you actually earned in game. So you've actually created this history of the item.
That's the thing is, I think when I did the D&D thing where you guys got the magic items, I asked you to make a name for the items.
Oh, really?
Maybe not with your armor, but with the sword, and definitely with Yujiro's one, the poker. not the best name, but...
What was you saying? The periodic table?
Man, the joke that would never die. Jesus.
But even if you don't have a history built into the weapon, or you don't have a good way to show that history to the players, maybe they've just found it, but give it a name, and they can build the history themselves through the course of the adventures.
Yeah, see what they do with it.
Yeah. And, even make that part of the item later. They meet an NPC a few adventures down the road and say, is that the sword that took down the kingdom or something like that?
Well, that would work if they did something important with it or if it was part of the story.
Hopefully they hear
it. Hopefully. You kind of brought up an interesting point. Like, would you want to play in a game where instead of buying items, kind of, not everything, but most major things were part of a labor or a task?
No, I just think it's one possibility.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I was just throwing it out there.
Because Chris said about the MacGuffin. And, when you have a MacGuffin, try to make more of it. Mm-hmm. And just, okay, it's part
just
of it.
Just leaving it as the thing.
Yeah.
What's the thing?
Yeah, give a name to the MacGuffin.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's a do as I say, not as I do.
You know, we can think of, like, modern examples, and, of course, fantasy's got, hundreds, thousands of them. I mean, even, like, the one series that we're all
raving about
right now, Song of Fire.
Ice and Fire.
Ugh, I always curse those, that German skiing movie of Fire and Ice. I had a German exchange, and at the end of my time at the house, they gave me two albums, one was Shaken Stevens. And for all the non-British people out there who have no idea who that is, or the non-German people, don't worry. And the other was the soundtrack to Fire and Ice, which I think was a German skiing movie. And those remained in the cellophane.
don't you mean those remained at the customs counter when I went through the airport?
And then there's the Bakshi movie, the Fire and Ice, which I really like. So that order has just burned my mind. It's always Fire and Ice.
My condolences to you.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But
it's a throne of games.
Nice. I was going to say, like...
Another German movie that was not...
But we'd kind of discussed, like you said, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of examples of these in fantasy.
Yeah, I was actually going to finish a point there, but okay. I think you're going to finish it for me.
No, I might say something different, so go ahead and finish your point.
The Fire and Ice tangent took you off it.
Yeah. Was it you're going to mention science fiction?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
So go ahead.
So what about science fiction? Oh, maybe I should do the sentence again, since no one can remember how it started. Okay, fantasy has a lot of examples, and we brought up a lot of modern examples. Can you think of any science fiction examples of, like, an iconic or signature weapon or...
Are we doing
item?
Named weapon or named items?
I mean, that's a start. I mean, when you say iconic, yeah, that's... Because remember, we were talking prior to the podcast about the knight with two swords, Sir Balin, and then we're who's that? Mm-hmm. And I only remember because I read this John Steinbeck book, but he has two swords. Neither one has a name, so people just don't remember these swords or the character. Right, yeah, so any named...
The tangent I was going to bring up actually deals with this, so I'll wait until afterwards, sorry. But I know we often talk about how many Star Wars references we drop lightsabers. That's the only thing that comes to my mind.
So, sure, the lightsaber
is a signature weapon.
Yeah, it's a signature. Yeah, no, good point.
Even
did they name them?
They're not named. No, they're not named. But they are definitely unique because, you know, Luke's lightsaber is this, and Yoda's lightsaber is this.
Well, to look at the fluff, every Jedi has to build their own lightsaber.
Right.
So they are unique in that way, but they're not named. You could name it.
Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking about before. Was that I think it may have to do with the familiarity of the weapons, because everybody knows what a sword is, so to make something unique and special in fantasy, you give it that name and that mm-hmm. magical property. Whereas in sci-fi, you're maybe creating something brand new. So instead of creating a unique one, you kind of create it as a technology that's unique to the setting, I suppose, but not specific.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the case, but...
I think it's a fair point, yeah.
Because, I'm thinking there's things that have interesting names, like, first thing come to mind is Star Trek, the Tricorder.
Right.
That would be a very unique item if it were, saying a fantasy thing or it were unique in itself, but
pre-80s.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of that's uniquely named off the top of my head is ships.
But I think that gets into the whole ship tradition,
more because it's a ship or more because it's something unique.
Well, I was going to say I think the reason that there are sort of less named items if you kind of go up in history.
Or maybe just because technology are always replacing.
Yeah, I was going to say manufacture process. You go to fantasy, usually it takes a long time to build something, so things get passed down through the generations, or it's important to hold on to certain things. Mm-hmm. So things build up a history, mm-hmm. or they have a name, right? Mm.
Yeah.
So then you get into the modern era, and you have modern manufacturing processes, and things just get cranked out, even more so in science fiction.
And that actually would be a good explanation why ships retain the name, because they still take a long time to build, in sci-fi.
That's possible. That's the point I was going to make about why I think there are more named items in fantasy.
I think both. That's a good point, Wayne. But I think your original point about the ships is because they're ships.
Death Star.
I'm sure they have different names. The Death Star.
The Death Star.
I thought it meant Star Destroyer. I'm sure the Star Destroyer.
But then again, planets also have names. So that kind of.
No, I think it's just a ship thing. Because when you read science fiction, they still really hold to the
Navy.
The Navy traditions. Because in BattleTech, they'll still refer to if you're rank in the army or captain, you get promoted up to major.
The more I think about it, the truer I think that is, because I can't think of any named fighters in Star Wars or Star Trek or whatever.
Or Battlestar Galactica.
Well, the Battlestar Galactica.
I think
the Vipers had the call sign.
Yeah. They did have the one stealth ship, but they didn't name it.
But that's just like fighters now.
Yeah, exactly. But that's it. The ship gets a name. The fighter doesn't.
Right.
So,
gets the pilot's call sign on it. Mm. And so what were you going to say, Wayne?
No, I made my point about I think that there are...
Oh, the Industrial Revolution.
Or just, manufacturing processes.
Manufacturing processes.
The more difficult it is to make something, the less you make of it, so the more important it is to keep those things around.
Yeah. Well, what about if a weapon's too powerful? Like you accidentally, or not accidentally, but you give something to
a generator.
Oh, you're kind of talking about like
an unbalanced
item. Mechanics-wise, for the game master.
Sure.
Okay. I thought we were still kind of in the fantasy realm. But, I don't know, there's different things you could do. I would kind of be reluctant to take it away from the player. There's other things you could...
You could do that reforging idea, except it comes out weaker. And
when I got this, it was a bastard sword. Now it's just a long sword. Yeah, sorry, we lost some of the metal in the reforging process. That's why it went from +3 to +1.
We reforged your bastard sword into a bow.
That's one option. Actually, that would make a really interesting story.
What happened?
No, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking isn't there this
for the player?
Isn't there this classic 3.5 adventure, the Rod of Seven Parts? So someone has a really powerful weapon. It gets broken. Somehow a few of the parts get lost. They could reforge the weapon. It's weaker. And now your story is finding those other parts to return it back to a whole. So it was kind of said in jest, but you could actually do it.
Yeah.
You would have to sort of make the whole story.
Start off the game with the characters having that really powerful weapon, and then it breaks?
If that's what you have to do, yes. Hmm. I mean, if that happens, then I would probably take the person aside and say, you know what, kind of made a mistake. You know, this is too powerful. Will you be willing to
do
that?
If you take them aside and say, I kind of made a mistake, it's too powerful, unless you got a real difficult player, then you could just say, okay, whatever, like, it's a little bit weaker. Here are the new stats.
Oh, yeah,
like,
probably.
You could do that. Yeah. I think if you're going to do... plan a story around it and incorporate it. That incorporate the weakening. Let's say then I would just like use it as a surprise.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Do it as a story. I mean, like you said, unless it's a munchkin or a jerk player, then they probably would enjoy having a good story about it.
Yeah,
and especially if it's able to eventually regain its power, that's all the better. But that's also something to take a look at: is like how to be careful about these because. Magical items and things, they can be really powerful. Mm. How do you do them without being unbalancing?
Well, there's the classic Elric Stormbringer. Is his sword that gives him a lot of power, but you know, it's an evil sword. Mm-hmm. So when he tries to resist that, it's kind of like a Blood Drinker sword, I suppose you could say.
What was it again? Sorry, refresh memory.
Like, that sword in particular is a soul drinker.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess drinks the blood, but it drinks the souls out of the victims. But then it, just like a blood-drinking sword, it wants to always feed.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes Elric kill, like, friends and family. Yeah. So it's kind of like he's doomed, he's cursed.
That's a pretty big negative, yeah.
It's kind of like a classic,
he's
classic
like,
trope, isn't
he's
it?
He's like the classic fantasy anti-hero. And that sword's a large part of the reason why.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's one way to do it, is it's very powerful with a huge downside.
Yep. I guess another way is, I think you've brought it up before, it's like call it the gunslinger syndrome, essentially.
Yeah. You know where I got that from?
Well, I got it from you, so I'm giving you props. So if you give props to wherever you got it from.
The Clint Eastwood movie, Every Which Way But Loose. It's like, you know, when you're the best, everybody always wants a piece of you.
and that's exactly my point.
But he probably got it from the gunslinger.
All right.
He comes from the Westerns. But,
well, you beat me, kid. Now every bit punk packing a 2-bit pistol is going to come looking for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's another way you could do it, right? Once you have this item, powerful items have other powerful people looking for it. So you just made yourself a bunch of rivals by having this item.
Are you a swordsman enough to wield... that sword that I can't. I'm gonna think of a name.
Longclaw, Lion's Tooth.
Lion's Tooth.
Well, that's what I couldn't think of an original one.
Are you a
Dragon Tooth? Yeah, that's right.
Dragon Talon. Come on, man. Dragon Fang. Manticore's Sting.
For that, like you said, other powerful
molar.
People. What's that?
Molar.
Worm's Tooth.
The Cutter.
I suppose it's not far off from the poker.
Slice and dice.
This box cutter is engraved.
Exacto. I call this Exacto.
Well, it was my grandfather's box cutter.
All right. Anyway, what were you going to say, Chris? Something about...
What was it? Oh, yeah. So there is the one thing where other powerful people are coming after it. But you could also have it as regular people. I mean...
I didn't necessarily mean powerful people had to go after it. So I just think it's a way to scale. The flaw, right? The more powerful.
Well, that's the
item.
Thing. People come looking for you, but as another one, people just notice you a lot more. I mean,
you're noticeable.
Yeah, magical weapons, not always.
Or
of course,
people come to you looking for help.
Yeah. That's kind of the reverse, but in the same vein.
You could have a part of the curse of it be something similar to the ring in the Lord of the Rings. It drives people crazy. They want it badly.
Good point. Good point.
Unless you're a hobbit.
It's fabulous.
Lee Evil.
So yeah.
And I guess the ultimate sort of way to fix it is to take the item away from the person.
That seems so unfair.
But we already talked about ways to do that without actually just taking it away. Like wake up one day and it's gone. Oh, unless they can find it again.
Well, unless they can find it again.
Yeah, which is it's fine for a quest or something, but just take it away. That's mean.
Well, I agree, it is just mean.
Oh, what if it disappears and it goes into the hands of the next champion?
Ooh.
Or it disappears because the person's not worthy anymore?
Yeah.
That's part of it.
I mean, there'd have to be like...
Yeah, set up.
Because other than that, you just take the person aside. Like, if you're not going to do something like that, you take them aside and say, look, I'm taking it away. What do you want to replace it?
Yeah.
I want something just as powerful.
No, yeah. That's the point. All right, now I'm getting the point.
Yeah, so I agree. If you did just take it away, you would have to have some kind of setup, right? Like, the person would have to know about this thing going to happen first.
Maybe sometimes it's not there. disappears. It's right, unreliable.
Yeah. That'd be good.
I'm just thinking, if I was a player and I woke up, it's like, hey, what happened to my +8 longsword? Oh, yeah, it's gone. It's like, oh, come on. You know?
Yeah.
That pissed me off. And I'm not a munchkin or a power gamer.
Is that what you call it? Your longsword?
But that's one of the things, too, is can...
Now you do a joke about that? All right, whatever. Anyway.
It was much more appropriate before. Yeah.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I forgot. The joke wiped it from my mouth.
He's talking about his long...
But, of course, and it doesn't have to be a weapon. Like, you
no,
know, you think
no,
like
it goes for any item.
Like the golden compass, which I saw recently.
And do you remember what the compass did?
Kind of tells the future, gives her little messages, and you have to be able to read them.
Yeah, I saw it, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
All I remember was the
whole... But there was a bunch of them, but it's all down to one. Mm-hmm. The other ones were destroyed. So... But I didn't read this series. So.
Later on in the series, you find out that, like...
There's more, right?
No. There was only that one.
Oh.
But, in my opinion, they kind of cheapened it by saying, like, at the end of the series, she forgets how to read it because apparently she only had this power when there was a great need for it.
Oh, that's pretty lame.
Yeah, exactly. And I said the same thing, too, and I said, that's really lame. Why did you do that?
That's just wow.
A little tidbit. Yeah, the whole end of that series I thought was pretty lame.
Huh. Yeah, but, you know, I just said that was pretty lame, but maybe the sword is normal. The item is normal until there's actually a great need. So it's not like the player can't remember how to use it.
Yeah.
But they use it like normally. It's a compass. It'll tell you how to go north, south.
But only tell the future. Yeah, it tells you where you can go.
Yeah, yeah.
It tells you where you'd be if you want.
Tells you when you follow that way, you'll actually get where you want to be. If you follow the other way, you won't. It's kind of... But yeah, like kind of an activation.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. I think that'd be really interesting, especially if, again, like going with the D&D thing where you're expected to give the player some weapon, like have whatever sword they're carrying now suddenly become magical.
Ooh, wow. And then suddenly not.
Yeah.
Dude!
Why are you telling me this red dragon's not...
Yeah, not
problem
dangerous enough.
A few seconds ago, I was like cutting through solid stone.
I could see a player really abusing that, right? Like, okay, what's behind this door? I'm going to test my sword. Oh, just clove through stone like it was butter. Must be something really dangerous. Otherwise, clang, probably something weak.
Let's or you could do it like, away. You know, like Sting, where it glows when orcs are around, and then orcs are like, you know what? You know what I love? Sting, because it glows. There they are. Where are the hobbits? Well, we'll find them eventually.
Actually, that'd be pretty useful for the orcs. As well, it's like, that's a pretty faint glow. I'm by myself. Let me not attack. Holy moly, that's like a 1,000-watt bulb. All right, get him.
Yeah. That'd actually be a fun thing, like a sword that you give to a player and it glows like that. Maybe he thinks it's like a weapon of light or something. Turns out that it's like a human warning, like a sting.
Oh, how about a screaming sword?
It screams when there's not danger.
It's a singing sword.
When you try to sleep.
Kind of getting in the realm of the magical, I guess. Here. I guess one thing I... Well, whatever. One thing I didn't touch
singing
on...
Singing sword? Magical? Yeah. The hell you say?
I don't know. All right. One thing I didn't bring up in how to make an item sort of special is have it look like something it's not. In other words, there's sort of
like a dagger.
No, I mean like, you know, like fairy tales and stuff. There's, as you said, there's like a glamour around stuff sometimes. So, you know, to certain people it looks like one thing, but to everyone else it looks like something else.
Actually, that's kind of similar to the old changeling, huh?
Well, the new changeling had it too, which is why I liked it. Basically, yeah, if you had glamour, you could see what it actually looked like. To other people, it just looked like mundane stuff. Not always it's the function that it had, which doesn't make any sense.
No, I understand. I understand. I'm just trying to think of like how.
Glad somebody did.
Cause like he's combing his hair. Oh, why is he bleeding? But yeah, we've talked about like the big items, the iconic items, and the signature items. But what about just like
mundane?
Really mundane, yeah.
Like a pouch full of chalk.
Yeah, like a pouch full of chalk. Like underrated items, underrated equipment.
Like a pouch full of chalk.
No, the pouch full of chalk is now not on our underrated items.
Why a pouch full of chalk?
I didn't bring up a pouch full of chalk.
Anyway, okay, so underrated items. So you mean like how how would people use them, or should the GM find a use for them if people take them?
No, I guess, yeah, there's a few things you could do. Like what are some underrated items, but also because they are so underrated, people might not remember to list them on their character sheet. So, as a storyteller, should you be quite open? You know, just if somebody thinks of something, that you should let them have it, or do you think that they have to list everything they're carrying on their sheet?
Yeah, definitely a different philosophy between those, and it depends a lot on the game.
Okay.
For example, Traveler, the game.
Yes.
Have you played before?
No.
Okay. It's kind of money is the game master's control of that game. Because there isn't really levels, or there is a kind of leveling system to it. But basically the way that you can delve out the character's power is by money, what they're able to afford and not. So in a game like that, then definitely keeping track of their funds and what they have on them is very important.
Hmm.
But in something like a fantastic D&D game, yeah, whatever.
I think I'm leaning more...
But there's... if you have starting money, then you still have... I think any system where you can buy or you have to purchase through points, resources, or a haven, like in Vampire, then that's part of the balancing system, kind of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have, for example, in Dungeons & Dragons, where you roll and see how much your starting money is, I think that's also a balancing system between the classes.
Absolutely.
So if it has something like that, then you...
No, I think Chris was saying that's kind of all... Traveler has
that is money.
But even if it's not all it has, but even if that's one thing that it has, so there's other things to balance in World of Darkness.
Well, that's
but if somebody's deciding to spend some of their merit points on a haven as a vampire, and then everybody can just have a secure apartment,
which is exactly what happened.
Well, they end up staying.
Yeah, they end up crashing in my place. Like, dude, time to move out.
Boots off the table. No, but that's very interesting that you bring that up, because in something like World of Darkness, where you have a resource skill, or the same thing also, Dresden Files has
a
merit, that kind of takes the place of items and money.
Hmm.
You know, if you say, I have a car, well, if you got 5 dots in resources, what does that matter? Sure, have a car. But if you only have 1 dot or 0 dots, then, you know, there's a...
No, exactly. So if somebody says, I have a car, it's like...
So in a system like that, I don't think keeping track of your items, listing everything, would be important at all.
I disagree, because if one person's spending the points, or one person's chosen a particular class that has this starting amount, then you should respect that.
Don't get me wrong.
Maybe the car was a bad example.
Oh, okay. Something that I wouldn't mind the characters just coming up with whatever they have with them, as long as it's not outside of their resources.
Okay, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, so I don't think it'd really be a big importance to keeping track of it.
I think I've definitely moved over to that philosophy, because, like I said, I've kind of came from like that gamist side where everything had to be balanced, and kind of what you rolled and how much gold you started with was, that's all you can spend, right? You rolled crappy, that's what you get, that's kind of the balance of the game.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when that is important, or times when it works. Again, like Chris said, depending on
the game. Well, random roll is not balance, because a random roll is random.
Well, random,
so
exactly.
So somebody could
roll
bad. Somebody can roll well, or if everybody goes off and makes their own. That's why I'm all about point buy. Even when you play like Dungeons & Dragons, is to buy your attributes, spend the points on what your attributes are, because then it's a level playing field. So if you're going to have like starting money, I just say, Don't roll it. Everybody gets
the max.
Yeah, if it's 1d6 times 10, then just say everybody's got 6.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got the top roll that they could get, or everyone's got the mid roll, and that would be balanced. Yeah. But like having the random roll, no, I don't.
I think I've kind of gone to the whatever you think is appropriate method, because
I think that's fine with maybe our particular group. I'm not saying
definitely.
We're so wonderful to play with, but I think you can have problem players. So you have a starting character, and really the person should be a squire. They're starting out, and then he walks in with this full plate armor, and you're like, well, you know, you think about a story, you know, unless you're starting up as, you know, an experienced knight, then you wouldn't have all of that, and that's part of the excitement of the story, is you growing as a character, and as you grow, you kind of earn your armor.
Yeah,
and when you read like a really good story, like that, people know, you know, like he's poor, he looks like a ragamuffin, and then he
ends up a full knight.
So I would say you have to. I would say the golden rule of role playing is use whatever rules work. So I would say. Oh,
yeah,
you
know, I was just trying not to. I know you were trying to cop out,
but
I like to do what's fun.
Well, yeah, but so, you're right. Like sometimes,
whatever
like,
works for your party is what you should do.
No, I know some people personally.
My rule is if it's got something built into the character creation, then respect that and use it, because sometimes there is a balance there.
I don't know. Actually, the D&D economy kind of got me out of that, because the basic items that you need are so cheap. One copper for a beer. You know, you get one gold.
Do you
gold.
Need beer? Sorry.
To start your character?
Something to drink, right. For example.
Always had a beer in his hand. What?
That'd be a fun character.
Yeah. Save it for the episode on quirks.
But where is it going? Completely lost my
don't
mind.
Know.
The economy of D&D.
But you get money. You get, for example, 1d6 gold from these enemies and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's an enormous amount of money. So when you go back to town, keeping track of how much you've actually spent just seems pointless.
Yeah.
But that said, in D&D where...
But it's quite easy when you start out.
When you start out,
you make your starting character, because you're not going back and forth.
Yeah.
You've just got, here's your pile of money, here's the equipment list.
Go.
See, I don't even care about that. I say, here's the equipment list, choose whatever you want, and I'll nix if you've gone.
I want a giant long sword.
That's fine, but then it creates a back and forth, whereas you could just say, how much money do you have? Great, that's how much you do. It's like somebody shows up if they don't spend any dots and resources, and they say, oh, I have a car.
It's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I think, yeah.
Yeah. What about my apartment? Did you buy a haven? No. Okay, then you don't have... No.
Then your apartment is a cardboard box.
Yeah, no, you haven't... You don't have a lock on it. Sorry, go, Wayne.
Oh, no, you might want to make a point, because I was going to...
Because that said, though, I do think that... I still don't think you'd have to list everything on the sheet. Like, if somebody pulls out a stick of gum, I'm going, whoa, where'd that come from?
Hold on there, mister.
I would.
But because then I would kind of think, is it kind of small enough that they could conceivably carry it around them?
Right.
And is it also cheap enough?
Right.
So if they, you know, they pull out like a little, you know, a smartphone all of a sudden, and they never mentioned that they had that, then yeah, because it's got all this extra stuff that can kind of break the game. Yeah. But, or even like a roll of duct tape. It's certainly cheap enough to just kind of say, oh, I've got some duct tape. But duct tape's pretty bulky. So it's, who carries around duct tape?
And, you know, actually, that's something that I appreciate, too, that in the game with the bag of chalk, that you actually went to the effort as a character to go and get that bag of chalk. You just didn't assume that you had it anyway.
Yeah.
So.
But I think Wayne was talking before the episode, like the 10-foot pole.
Well, yeah, because it's on every adventuring
list.
When
did you have a 10-foot pole? It's like, but also, like, yeah, if you're going to carry around a 10-foot pole, you're carrying around a 10-foot pole. Like, bomb, all right, you can't get it through the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think...
Well, I guess you could get it. You just turn it.
I mean, that was the other thing I was kind of always kind of worried.
Going on the door.
Sideways.
I can't get through, guys.
No, put it vertical.
Turn it. No, not up. Well, again, like coming from the gamist side, that was the other thing I worried about a lot was an encumbrance.
Well, break it in half.
Sorry. Should I just stop talking? You guys can do the podcast myself.
I'm making fun of myself.
I know. But anyway, like kind of similar to your duct tape thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't have to get bogged down with like encumbrance and how much weight people are carrying down.
That thing I do think is boring.
Yeah.
But like, you know, the 10-foot pole, the duct tape, you know, if it's something big and bulky.
I mean, the guy could, if he has a satchel or a backpack and he carries that around, he said, oh, I pull out my roll of duct tape. Sure.
Hmm.
But if the person's wearing like a tuxedo and he's, well, I'll get my duct. Where'd you get? Have you ever worn
MacGyver.
A tuxedo before?
They're MacGyver.
Yeah, maybe MacGyver couldn't carry around duct tape.
They get it from the trunk of their
car. He has that kind of 80s leather jacket.
He could make duct tape. Right?
It was in his mullet. Why do you think it's a party in the back?
Because I got duct tape.
Well, anyway, I was going to say, back to the most underrated item.
Should we guess?
Pins
and needles.
mine is going to be food.
I was actually food. Guessing pins and needles.
And you're a fan of Wheel of Time. Shock.
I didn't mean the fact that you have to mark down what you're eating every day. But I'm thinking of the adventuring party who says, okay, we're going to travel 3 weeks to this place. And it's like, did you buy food? No. Well,
I was actually going to bring up that as an aside as well.
Kind of in trouble.
Like, I don't care about characters just saying, like, yeah, I have a roll of duct tape on me out of their backpack or something. But on a situation where they're doing long-term traveling, or for that matter, even a dungeon crawl, where equipment can become, supplies can become pretty important. Yeah, I think that's something to keep track of then.
maybe I was just always the player who said, okay, I'm going to take about 10 iron rations just in case when I made up my character.
No, I think that's a good point. I think it, though, that...
I mean, not always. Like, when you're in a city, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
There's a time and a place for that kind of thing.
But yeah, but it becomes part of that certain type of adventure, like an outdoor adventure, a journey, because it adds to the journey, like running out of the supplies.
Yeah. I mean,
but that's an important thing to make sure that the players understand, too. Like, if you don't usually track their items, but it's going to be important when they do the trip across the desert, tell them that.
Well, if they're traveling across a desert and you're like, by the way, how many water skins did you have? One? Yeah, you made it about 3 days and you've got to turn around. But...
Well, I mean, if the players know they're going to a desert and they don't buy water skin, then...
Well, that's the thing, though. If they haven't been eating in character in game, then they probably won't consider that same thing important.
All right. Well, one thing I was going to say is, I do kind of think the food is important because most games have a section about exposure, hunger, and thirst rules about starvation and such.
Yeah.
So. It's kind of in there. My feeling is you don't have to use it all the time, but
and that's what I think. Give the players fair warning if you're going to use it.
Oh well, yeah.
I think he agrees with you. So
yeah. I'm not saying be a bastard and like you know wait for their halfway through the desert and then they all just die. You know, okay, well you guys are getting plan and go on a journey.
Why did you guys show up to play today? You guys died last session in your sleep.
That'd be pretty crazy. But.
Yeah, I ran a combat while you weren't here. You all sucked.
Yeah, you overheated because you no longer had moisture in your body to sweat.
Your attack rolls were all critical fumbles. I don't know, making it seem unrealistic.
But there's also, for example, when and where you can carry your items. Like a lot of cities in fantasy settings, they may have no weapons rule. Or actually, even in modern settings for that, especially.
I think most modern settings, yeah.
Because I remember we played Cyberpunk a lot when I was in high school.
I've heard Chicago is difficult to buy handguns in.
They're illegal, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to play Cyberpunk a lot in high school. And, of course, you have characters that would carry around a lot of heat. But, you know, one of the things in the book was to mention you can't walk down the street with an assault rifle. That you'll get arrested.
A sentiment I echoed during one of my games was not received well.
Oh, yes. In your Hollow Earth
expedition.
Yeah, I was
thinking of the 1936 Pulp.
Oh, yeah.
Walking around with a shotgun on the back. I think that was a miscommunication.
Probably. Anyway, you were going to say something else?
Well, I think it comes into maybe modern or fantasy, or just players are portable.
Uh-huh.
Or they travel. You know, they're, well, in fantasy, they're adventurers. Uh-huh. So they don't really have that fixed location. In some games where they do have a fixed location, then you can go to where your apartment, where your haven, where your headquarters are, and then get your stuff, change clothes. But when you have people just like travel from place to place, it's their stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't want to leave my stuff in the hotel room because then it could get stolen.
I don't
want to
leave with a city guard because I don't trust him.
Yeah. And I've had games fall apart because of that. And I think unreasonably so, where the glitter boy didn't want to get out of his glitter boy armor to go into a bar, even though it didn't have 13-foot clearance.
Yeah.
Or the chaos warrior who didn't want to give his armor and weapons to the city guard, even though he looked like an evil chaos warrior. What? I just came to a man coming for a drink?
That could be...
I'm a baker.
That could be kind of tough in certain games, like you mentioned, like World of Darkness, where if you buy things that are sort of part of your character, such as skills or abilities, versus buying things that are external to your character, I can see how some players would be reluctant to leave that behind because.
Or would you be reluctant to even make that character to begin with? For example, if you're making the Tony Stark character, and like DC Heroes and GURPS and Mutants and Masterminds, they have it built in. If your power is linked to an item, then it's cheaper to buy, so you can gear it up and make it more powerful. But once you're out of that suit of armor, that power armor, or you don't have your magical hammer, then you're a lot less powerful.
Or invisible jet.
So just general, are you personally reluctant to make characters where their power is linked to an item that the game master can steal? I'm thinking more in a point buy system.
Right. Not necessarily. Because, well, As a game master?
You like Green Lantern.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, so everything's in the ring. Take the ring away, he's just a...
Hal
Jordan's a pilot.
Yeah, which is fine. I think that would make for really fun, interesting characters. Especially because, at least when I'm playing with you guys, I know that you're not going to be dicks about it. Like, you're not... my ring's going to be turned off and I'm going to get hit with a bullet in the head and it kills me right away because I don't have my power turned on. That's not going to happen. Iron Man...
But then why should you get that ring for... Why should you get those powers on the cheap?
Which is fine.
Because there should be the potential that could happen.
Yeah,
or why do you get it for...
Well, that's... There's a difference between maybe a situation I get into where I don't have the power available, which could be very interesting and fun, versus a no-win situation where I just die outright.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, that a sniper would never do anything to Superman. Also with, for example, Tony Stark with Iron Man, it would be a really dick move for the DM to just take his power armor away, his Iron Man suit, unless there was something of a story attached to it. And I know that you guys, if you were going to do something like that, there would be a story attached to it. It wouldn't just be something dumb.
Yeah, the funeral. Something for the other players. Yeah.
I think I'm pretty much in the same...
Mourn him.
I'm in the same boat as Chris. Like, in this group, yeah, I know that there would be a chance to get it back, or there would be a reason. So, my experience, I wouldn't have a problem building a character whose powers were sort of external. Mm-hmm. You know, either in items or contacts through other people or things like that. I'm sure some people would.
Well, how about you, then?
I probably do have a little bit of reluctance, so if I were to make the Tony Stark... I mean, Tony Stark's actually quite... The character is brilliant. Mm-hmm. So then I would kind of approach it that way, that even without the armor, they have something
smart
to contribute. Mm-hmm. So they're a brilliant scientist.
Yeah, I don't know if I would dump everything into items or gadgets or external
but
things.
But that could be quite fun too, because there's some, I'm drawing a blank, but some iconic characters or some classic characters where they are nothing without their item.
And like Mr. Freeze.
Well, and you said the Green Lantern.
Yeah, okay. The Green Lantern.
Yeah. I forget his name, but the original one. He was just a cartoonist, wasn't he?
Oh, that's Kyle Radner. He's a more recent one.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. although I have a reluctance to do that, to be the average Joe without the item, I think that could be quite fun to play and to play up, because you may have an inferiority complex.
Mm. I think it kind of
superiority complex when you don't have the power on.
Oh, maybe.
When you do or don't.
When you don't have the power on. Kind of the reverse.
Right. No, I know it's a superiority complex.
Like saying, I don't need the power, because I'm so great.
Okay.
Or, for example, you don't have the power, but you start picking bar fights with guys bigger than you.
That's just being an asshole.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
which might be a fun character to play.
All right. I would almost see it, like, okay.
Well, whatever, you know.
And I was going to say, I think I can understand your reluctance, because, like, again, a little bit of a tangent, but... When you play a role-playing game, do you really want to play an average Joe?
But you wouldn't be an average Joe. You'd have an average Joe with power armor.
But that's just it. Like, without the...
That reminds me of Saturday Night Live. It was, you've seen the movie. Now get the toys. Philadelphia, the movie.
Oh, jeez. And it's for that one.
It's Miguel, longtime companion. In power
armor. It's Miss Daisy with Kung Fu Grip.
Oh, here's the bad man. It's like Jason Robards' character. And he's like... You're bad. You have AIDS. Yeah. It's one of the funniest commercials ever.
But I guess it kind of supports my point. Like, do you want to play a game where, without your stuff, you're an average Joe? Maybe. But I can see why you would want to put something into your character and not dump all the points or whatever into external items.
When you think about it, a lot of characters... that we play are nothing without their stuff.
Hmm.
Like,
a fighter with no armor, no
sword. Well, I was going to say that, yeah. Because based on the rules, he's doing non-lethal damage, unless he's a monk, you know? Or if you got the gunslinger.
Without a gun, yeah, I was just going to say the same.
What's he slinging?
He's chucking bullets.
I still got my bullets. And I got this vise and a nail and a hammer. He could just stand right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think in like a superhero game, when you're immortal among gods, if you are relying on your power armor. So actually, you know, I'm going to have to say I'd like to do that.
You want to try it?
And do the inferiority complex and that. Because if you're palling around with Superman or Thor, even though Thor is kind of a combo because he has stuff that enhances his power, but he's also, he's still a god, literally. Uh-huh. And everything that you have is this piece of tech, or everything you have is this ring or this belt, and without it, you're nothing. That would be pretty cool player character to play.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree. I mean, I'd like to talk in a different episode about playing normal Joes or the average Joe, normal guys and gals, and whether or not that's fun or not fun. But just for this, it's like, yeah, it would be where your sense of identity is that one item.
Well, that's actually, just saying that, that's actually really interesting there, that your sense of identity isn't yourself.
No, it's the item.
It's the item.
So who are you when that item gets taken? Oh, yeah, you're essentially
nobody. That's why it's a little bit confusing, the superiority complex. I can see, now that I think about it, I can see how it enhances where you start to deceive yourself into thinking that you are more than what you are.
That's what I was
because
thinking.
Of the item. But I would still see there would be a reluctance to be apart from the item. But you're just telling yourself that, oh, I'm still a somebody. Mm-hmm. Sure, they call me Green Lantern. But if I... Actually, Guy Gardner has the superiority complex, but he's like, yeah, but they really, you know, they know me because I'm Guy Gardner.
Yeah.
And what I do, not necessarily with the ring, but... Yeah, that would be pretty cool. King who? King Excalibur? Anyway.
Cool.
All right. Well, today we're talking about accessorizing your character and... Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for joining us again. Idle Red Hands. Check us out online, www.idleredhands.com. Post in the forums. Like us on Facebook. Post some comments and things like that.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye. Road that makes
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.